and that will last until 6 a.m. tomorrow. Right now, 6 minutes past the hour, time for hour one of the Saturday special. Here's MZ.
I sure am. How are you, Rick? Be honest.
I'm excellent. It's a beautiful day.
Good. Great. Yeah, and we're going to have quite a program today. I think it's going to be a barn burner, but what do I know? I mean, only time will tell here. So I guess you'll hit the buttons, and we'll hit the good morning jingle, followed directly by the promo, and then on with the show.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Hey, good morning to all, and we're a special shout-out today going to KMPG Modesto AM 840. The vast central valley of California is being served by that station. It's my understanding today that we are simulcasting. And so stay with us for the next couple of hours, and we're going to have a pretty interesting discussion that you can participate in. So do stay tuned.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Homelessness is a growing problem everywhere, but particularly in Santa Cruz, where for years the mild climate and political tolerance have made the area very attractive to homeless people. The homeless shelter at Coral and River Streets in Santa Cruz has a long history of serving the needs of area homeless and has become a model for other such operations around the country. But some feel that homeless people can be harnessed and put to work to make a positive impact on our community. Andy Carcello is from a distinguished charter Santa Cruz family and is now a resident of the homeless shelter. He wants to share his story and insights on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Speaking Openly About Uncomfortable Topics That Many Want Swept Under the Rug Can Go a Long Way to Solving Serious Problems Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. You know, for such an ongoing problem, it's amazing that we haven't really discussed this much more often on KSCO. I can remember once in 1989 on the Saturday Forum, the predecessor to the KSCO Saturday Special, that we had a very interesting discussion. But this was sparked by a caller, Andy Carcello, whom, as I announced in the promo, is a longtime Santa Cruz resident, a member of a, I don't know, pioneer family is the correct description, but longtime Santa Cruz residents, longer residing in Santa Cruz, I think, even than the Zwirlings. And we would like to welcome Andy officially to KSCO Studios. I'm at KSCO North, so I don't see Andy, but I know he's there. Right, Andy?
Well, hi, MZ. Yeah, I'm sure here.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine.
So you've called in to a number of the programs, and you've said many kind things about KSCO and the fact that we provide an unedited forum for people to discuss community issues. And when you mentioned that you were a resident of the homeless shelter, I became sort of intrigued. So tell us your story here. You actually sent me an email a while back, within the last couple of days. I can either read that or we can just have you sort of give a background. What do you think? Should I read this email?
Maybe we can do both. Maybe you can read the email and we can just proceed.
You sent me this email on May 10th, one day ago. The subject line is "The Show Tomorrow." Hi, MZ. I would like to introduce myself to Santa Cruz. Michael, I need to be forthcoming about my past. I don't plan on dwelling on these points, but I want the listeners to know I have been there. MZ, I did 5 years in a Texas prison for burglarizing a drugstore. That was 35 years ago.
I just thought you should know about this. I think I should be honest about this to the public. MZ, I walked over to Harvey West Park yesterday evening and talked at length to one of the parents who had a young son playing ball there. Frankly, what he told me made me angry and disgusted. Fights, drunks, needles, vandalism, blood on the bathroom walls from misguided jabs with a syringe. It makes me want to ask Santa Cruz if they want a homeless shelter here at all. The audacity of this administration in ignoring its responsibilities to the surrounding community seems obvious. The shelter seems to think that they are on some divine jihad for the poor and that they can inflict these hardships upon Santa Cruz with impunity. This is further facilitated by a city council that hasn't the backbone to support and protect the taxpaying citizen. There are some very simple questions to be asked here, like, do you even want this place to exist? And you're speaking about the homeless shelter. I'm going to be putting together an outline for the show, and I will talk an email later. Once again, thanks. Take care. Andy. Woo! Heavy stuff, Andy. don't you, I mean, as a resident of the homeless shelter, it, you know, you feel like it serves a personal need for you. Well, so don't you feel a little weird, almost, you know, I'm just asking a natural question that I'm sure the audience has.
Well, let me be honest with you. I feel uncomfortable about the things I have to say. The homeless shelter did save my life, and I want to thank Santa Cruz and the Santa Cruz taxpayers for contributing to that. The homeless shelter has done wonderful things for people, and of course you get these stories all the time. But this has to be weighed against the bad things that occur around the homeless shelter and about the impact on the Santa Cruz citizens. You know, there's approximately 3,000 homeless people out there, and they go places at night, and they sleep there. A lot of them are IV drug users. They leave syringes behind. They get drunk. I think there was a thing recently about some people drinking cheap vodka and getting wild, and the police were questioned on how they handled it.
Now, these are residents?
Let me be clear about that. I think one thing the public needs to know is that there's two sections to the homeless shelter. And the front part of the shelter serves the transient population. The back part of the shelter, you'll run into the Page Smith Community Project, which originally was designed to supply transitional housing for 18 months and to get permanent housing for homeless people, especially homeless disabled people. That has changed. That has changed. And it's changed with these administrations that change so frequently in these bureaucratic messes like the homeless shelter. You know, now there seems to be a focus on, you know, just grant money. And in order to do that, in order to supply grant money, they've gone to such things as AB 109 residents and whatnot. I believe Assembly Bill 109, where California suddenly found out that it has overpopulated jails and prisons. And they began to release low-level of felons and prisoners out into the general population because they had to, because of the violence that was occurring. The problems with AB 109, and this can be verified on the Internet and with documents and writings and whatnot, that, according to the chief police of Watsonville, predicted that 40% of these people on AB 109 are actually miscategorized. They're indeed violent criminals. They've had serious felonies in the past, and that they just slip through the cracks, and they're released into these halfway houses and also in transitional houses. We're finding these people placed in Page Smith community right next door to disabled homeless people. And I think, you know, we've lost sight of a system or a method that was really working and getting people back into the community here. You know, also, we didn't have a choice at Page Smith Community to accept these people. Now, I believe that the Santa Cruz community should have been appraised of what was going on there, the placing of these AB 109 people. I don't think they ever were. And this was done once again for grant money. There's a commitment that this shelter has to realize to its responsibility for the safety and for the welfare and for the health of the Santa Cruz citizens. And I just feel the homeless shelter has become like the Vatican, untouchable.
Interesting. Well, so you're bringing that to the public's attention by your appearance on this program. What do you hope to achieve by bringing that to the attention? I mean, do you think that was ill-advised can be undone?
Well, there's a bigger problem here, and that's there's a massive transient population out there. And even if you click the switch and the homeless shelter disappeared tomorrow, these people would still be out there. And the need to feed them and give them basic medical attention is going to be there. I don't really have any solutions here. If I did, I'd bring them up. I just feel like with the mixture of this transient population out there, wherever you put a quote unquote homeless shelter, these problems are going to exist around it. It just so happens that the homeless shelter is close to Harvey West Park, and these people, I mean, they bring their kids there for baseball and whatnot. As a child, my mom used to give me a quarter and tell me to go swim in the Harvey West pool. And by God, you wouldn't give your child a quarter and tell him to go swim in the pool nowadays. I mean,
you wouldn't?
No, it's dangerous over there.
It costs much more than a quarter.
Well, but, yeah, I'm sure it would.
But from that, yeah, I can remember that too when it was a quarter to go when Harvey West Pool first opened. But tell me more. I mean, you say you wouldn't give your kid any money to go to. Well, someone must be swimming in Harvey West Park or Harvey West Pool. Is it the ne'er-do-wells and the criminals and the people with needles and bad people?
Let me tell you what's happened here. They need a place to sleep, and you know, a hop, skip, and a jump away are the hills of Harvey West, and these people go and they sleep in the hills of Harvey West and they camp out there. They also,
you know, you're right. You're right. One of my favorite places to hike is Poganip and Harvey West. And yeah, I pass encampments. I've never run into any person there, but I could tell that there were people who stay there. So you're absolutely right about that.
Well, and with people staying there, you have the problem with feces. You have the problem with garbage. Once again, you have the problem with syringes. You know, the needle exchange program has just brought nothing but, some serious problems to Santa Cruz. I think whatever it's done to help Santa Cruz stay away with HIV contamination has certainly been offset by the fact that you have literally tens of thousands of syringes out there that, you know, 25% are being used by HIV. You know, patients, and they're just everywhere out there. My God. To me, the solutions here are rather simple, and that's one thing, is to stop the needle exchange program.
I shouldn't be admitting this, but I'm pretty ignorant about this, and I know we've talked about it on KSCO quite a bit. I just haven't been listening. When was the needle exchange program established, and by whom, and for what period, and who does it serve?
I have no idea as to the exact history. I know the intent was to somehow limit the spread of HIV and also hepatitis C in the population.
Is this something that is unique to Santa Cruz or that began in Santa Cruz?
I haven't heard of it at any other location or
really?
Any other place.
Wow. All right. Anybody who knows about the needle exchange program who's listening to the Saturday special, please call 479-1080 right now. That's the beauty of a live interactive talk radio program. We do have one caller, Annalise, now, who we will bring in a moment. But I do want to invite people to call and weigh in on this topic, hopefully with information and then solutions to the problem. That'd be great. I just love it when the radio station can be useful in solving community problems. 479-1080, that's an area 831, because more and more people are listening to us on the internet. And again, today, it's my understanding that the vast audience in the Central Valley of California, served by the signal, the coverage signal of KMPG Modesto, AM 840, are listening to the Saturday special as well. So let's take our first caller and welcome Annalise to KSCO. You're on, Annalise. Hi.
Yes, good morning. And your guest's name is Andy?
Andy, yes.
Yeah.
I thought so. Andy, I want to thank you for bringing this out to the public because, you know, if one speaks against this concept of what the homeless brings, it sounds as if you're unsympathetic to the homeless, which I'm not. If one speaks in favor of it, it sounds like you're indifferent to the problems that the homeless bring, and that is, I'm not there either. To answer just something that you just raised, MC, as to who could speak well about the needle exchange program, before I say anything more of my own, Ethan Berryman has been speaking about the exchange program. I think he is actually involved with the exchange program with the, as he sees it, the advantages, and I'm sure he has well understood some of the disadvantages. He is both fair-minded and really a very, very thoughtful, intelligent man, so I'm sure he has some answers. I wish you could bring him into this conversation. If there's a way to contact him, it might be a good idea.
Something tells me that Ethan, who is a family man, would rather not be working on his time off.
But it might. But since he does address this as one of the focuses of his program, he might take a few minutes just to address some of the things that Andy brought up. Personally, that's how I see the homeless problems, and I think many people in the community that are sympathetic and intelligently aware both of what happens for the homeless and their great need for shelter and food and to be treated humanely and with respect is counterbalanced, of course, by what happens with high addiction culture and population, where you come with needles and disease and problems that happen with people who are addicted that become then the problems that get inflicted on the average pedestrian person, unaware that they may be drawn into and attacked by people that are on in an addictive mode of life. It's not an attractive posture either way, and I really want to thank you. I certainly empathize with your position, Andy, and I really want to thank you for the integrity with which you address this problem and bring it to the program, MZ, because I think it's a really great problem within this community. I thought I'd never call again, MC, based on some of the reactions you've given me when I call. I know
we're happy you did.
But
we're
I'm glad you did have this program, and I really wanted to, you know, hopefully encourage people to call in with something other than just complaining, you know, and being venomous.
Annalise, guess
just
what?
Try to find some answers.
You're
That's what
thrilled.
We're going for.
The man who I thought, who you have spoken of, Ethan Berryman himself,
is on the phone. Oh, very good. I'll get off.
Okay, so he'll be our next caller. Then we're going to take Joe and Happy Valley, who knows about the needle exchange. But Ethan, hey, you're on the air, Ethan.
MZ, my voice is going to be kept down because I have a sleeping infant by me here. But I heard my name, and I wanted to listen this morning to hear Andy speak. And hello, Andy.
Hi, Ethan.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for supporting me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so pleased that MZ is covering this with you. And really quickly then, the needle exchange has been around for about 15 years. It was a volunteer program run by people. Again, Annalise brought it up. It was, and you did as well, Andy. The theory is to reduce hepatitis C and HIV. There's actually conflicting data whether or not it's actually accomplished that. And then the county of Santa Cruz took over the program April 30th of 2013, of which none of our supervisors have been able to answer the question of how much it's costing the county of Santa Cruz. And one of the things that they implemented for some percentage of the users is a one-for-one needle exchange, which is supposed to reduce some of the incidence of needles, but we'll find out, you know, when the data actually comes in, whether or not it reduces the number of dirty needles around town. But in a nutshell...
You mean before one-for-one, Ethan? Before one-for-one, people could turn in one needle and get several?
And get 30.
What?
Yes.
Now, that sounds to me to be not very smart. But what do I know?
Right. No, you're MZ, of course you know. And what you're so right about in your initial reaction, MZ, is dirty needles all over Santa Cruz, in particular the last 6 months. Cowles Beach, Seabright Beach, parks all around town. Andy's called into the KSCO Presents show to talk about all the needles he's found on the railroad tracks. It has become a major problem for the community. And I want to reiterate, though, the one-for-one is the basic rule. There are many exceptions to the one-for-one, of which the county has been a little loose on how they're going to allow one-for-30 still for a number of people.
Unbelievable. Anyhow.
I have a question. I mean, did Santa Cruz ever vote on this?
No, because it was a volunteer program.
Oh, boy.
And then the supervisors, as Take Back Santa Cruz and Ken Skindog Collins started making it an issue, and then, you know, I went out on that family's first march back in the middle of March with Take Back Santa Cruz. You know, it was raised pretty significantly profile-wise thanks to KSCO and Take Back Santa Cruz. And so then the supervisors unilaterally took action on a vote to put the county health services in charge of it. So now there's the county health service building in Santa Cruz and in Watsonville that do the distribution of the needles. And we'll see how well this plays out. I've really gotten on the case of Neil Coonerty and Zach Friend over the fact that the county is distributing the needles without labeling them, so we can keep track of where the dirty needles are coming from.
Hmm. Oh. Well, that's a good idea. So has there been any pushback or is there appreciation?
Well, it's really kind of mixed so far. You know, there's a percentage of the population that just want to eliminate the needle exchange altogether, which I totally understand. And then, you know, there's a percentage that say, look, you know, people are using drugs. Let's at least make sure we reduce the spread of communicable diseases, again, hepatitis C and HIV, which may or may not be occurring. Again, the data is conflicted over whether or not needle exchange programs actually reduce hepatitis C and HIV. Even though it seems naturally that it would, we don't know for a fact that it does.
Right. Okay. Well, Ethan, thanks very much for your call.
Great to speak with you. Great show, MZ. Thanks for having Andy on. Yeah. And Andy, thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
appreciate
take care.
And for those of you who are not aware, and I think most people are, Ethan does a program called KSCO Presents Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on KSCO AM 1080 from 12 noon to 2 p.m. So tune in to that program. He does a wonderful job, as I'm sure you have just seen a sample of. My computer is getting very hot here, and for some reason the mouse is jumping all over the place. So that means I better switch computers or something. But if you want to give us a call, 479-1080 in area 831, we do have totally free lines now. I don't know why that happened. They were jammed before, and we were going to go to Joe in Happy Valley, that we would like to do, but Anyhow, give us a call here if you'd like. Now, back to our discussion of the homeless here. How did you become homeless? Andy, okay. Let's go back. Let's tell that story. Okay?
Of course, you know, my father's had a pharmacy here for just a little under 60 years. I mean, my great-grandfather had 700 acres of dairy up the coast here. What happened was my mother went into a local hospital here in 1998. She had a heart surgery that went very bad. But she lived through it. And I took care of my mom and my dad at home. My dad was dying of cancer, and my mom had brain damage after this heart surgery for 3 years. But my father passed away, and I just had to put my mom in a nursing home. Well, it was $4,000 a month private pay. Then it went to $6,000 a month private pay. And then it went to $8,000 a month private pay. This literally consumed everything that we had. I wound up being evicted from my home, and the home was sold to pay my mother's nursing home bills. This is another confession I have to give to the Santa Cruz public. During this time, after I put my mom in a nursing home, I kind of just went to pieces, and I became a recluse in my home. My home was taken over by methamphetamine addicts, and this has happened frequently in Santa Cruz, I found out later. Eventually, my home was raided by the police, and I spent a week in jail over it. That is one thing that got me free from heroin addiction, was the withdrawals in the county jail for a week. But, during this time, we just lost everything that we owned. And finally, the home was sold to pay for my mother's nursing home bills. I was evicted partly because of what happened in the home with these people.
How many years were the $8,000 a month payments? Did they need to be paid?
Several years. This happened, geez, 2002, is that finally I had to put my mom in a nursing home, and that was $4,000. Within several years, it went to $8,000. I mean, it's just incredible.
And this was her money or your money?
Well, it was a trust. And, eventually, the trust was given to a local CPA who, actually kind of spent all the money. And
spent all the money, like, criminally?
I tried to take this gentleman to court. I couldn't, being homeless. I spent hours in the legal library at the courthouse, and I really put together a strong enough case where Judge Volksman, you know, said it should go to trial. And I just couldn't keep up with these guys. And they sent in two attorneys, and, you know, ironically, the attorneys were paid out of trust money. You know, it's ironic when you pay to go into bank, you know, to cause your own bankruptcy.
May I ask you a very uncomfortable and direct question?
Sure.
How much, if any, of the trust money went into your heroin habit?
Up
your nose.
It was mainly a heroin habit, and a lot of it. What happened
because
was
that makes a lot more sense to me.
Okay,
I can understand that way before I can understand a well-known, successful Santa Cruz family that owned a successful pharmacy for many years. Because that's not an unprofit. It's a hard-working situation, but it's not unprofitable, according to my understanding.
Well,
I would have thought that, you know, that there are hundreds of thousands of dollars that would have been built up. Now, you know, at the rate of even $8,000 a month, Andy, that's like $100,000 a year going out to a nursing home.
Uh-huh.
I'm
waiting for you to stop here.
Okay.
All right.
So you're gonna. Is there another confession for us today?
I know. There's some details to add here. I mean, I was getting $940 cash delivered to my door every week. to the sum of $360 a month. And what was going on and how they were generating this cash is that they got our property, because they said in the very beginning, look, you're cash poor, but you're property rich. And what they did was they mortgaged the property to generate cash. Now, they never reported this to the courts until the very last accounting that they did to the courts. And, of course, then they admit that, you know, all of this
they
money.
They who? A government agency?
No, the attorney that represented the CPA here. I'm really trying to avoid the use of names.
We don't want you to. You're doing the right thing here, right. But I still want to understand the story.
So, they were sending me the cash. They knew it was going to my drug habit. And at the same time, I mean, they were paying themselves immense amounts of money and hoping that, you know, I would just stay as a recluse at home using drugs until this was all over with. And that's basically, by the time I really understood what was going on, I mean, it was over with. You know, I really, during this time, you know, with $940 cash being delivered to my door, I did think that somehow they invested this money in investments that were being very profitable. And I assumed that they were paying themselves an immense amount of money. I didn't realize that how they were generating the money was mortgaging the properties.
How many properties were there?
Well, we owned the entire corner of Bay and Mission there, where Sylvan's Music is. We owned approximately 7 businesses, and of course the residential. There's an apartment above the Sylvan's Music there, so there's some residentials in there. Also, there's a huge parking lot that's across from Bayview School that we owned. You know, so that was worth at least $5 million from what I remember. And then we had 103 acres out in Aromas. We had a house on Escalona Drive 404, and the lot went all the way up to High Street. It was a huge section of property. That was worth quite a bit of money, I imagine. And then on top of it, during the high time of the trust, what they did, they bought my sister, who committed suicide in 2011. They bought her a house because she had rheumatoid arthritis, said she'd have the house forever. Well, they ended up evicting her so they could sell the house to eventually pay for a $50,000 arrears in nursing home bills for my mother. You know, so that was all the property. There was some cash. But like they said, I mean, we were property rich and cash poor.
Hmm. Okay. Wow, you've been to hell and back, and I'm not sure you're all the way back, but I think you're to be saluted for you know, working in that direction anyhow. You know, and it takes an awful lot of guts to you know, to go on a radio forum like this and bare your soul here.
Well, I
so
hope
we,
so. I
we
hope
appreciate that, and we hope that, you know, some good can and will come of it. There are no callers right now, which is quite amazing to me here. The lines are wide open at 479-1080. That's in area 831.
I'm kind of amazed.
Maybe it's just so sad and wretched that nobody has anything to say. I don't know.
One thing I was hoping, the last city council meeting I went to, you know, Take Back Santa Cruz and the Santa Cruz Chamber of Commerce were just totally intimidated by the hundreds of homeless advocates that were there. I was hoping that finally, if Take Back Santa Cruz had a chance to talk to the public or the Chamber of Commerce, that they'd step up here and do just that.
Well, we do have a couple of calls. Now, here's John in Watsonville. Let's put him on the air. John, thanks for calling the KSCO Saturday Special. You are on the air. Yeah.
Hello.
Are you there?
Okay, yes.
There you are.
Andy.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Andy. This is John. Remember me from the shelter. We have a ranch right
oh,
next
yeah.
to your ranch.
Yeah,
in,
John.
Aromas.
I sure do. Hi, John.
MZ. Yeah, that story that he just told was exactly the story he told me like 3 years ago. So, you know, this guy, he's come a long way since I've seen him. We used to do a lot of the beautifications in front of the River Street, and it didn't even stay it didn't stay looking pretty at all. Are you still living back there, Andy?
Yeah, I'm still at Page Smith back there. I've got a few more months. It's
hey,
good to
man,
hear from you.
That's good to hear from you too. I'm glad you pulled the covers off of everything, man. You need let everybody see what's going on out there because it just needs some help, you know. And I'm thinking they tried to make things better by putting all four of those little places together. That's why if it was spread apart, you wouldn't really see that much homeless around there. There's four facilities right in that area. You know, there's the River Street, there's Page Smith, there's the Loft, there's the Family Shelter, there's the HPHP. So you got homeless, you got needy people coming from all over the north and south county.
Guys, is it sort of like UCSC? It's one umbrella, University of California, Santa Cruz, but it has all those little cluster colleges. Is that what the homeless shelter has become? Or are there different, separate, totally separate and independent operations that happen to be in the same geographical area because it makes sense?
MZ, whenever I try to ask a question, they tell me, "Oh, that's Page Smith deal. Oh, that's River Street's deal. Oh, that's the HPHP deal." You know, so it's like they push people off on other entities over there. But anyways, good to hear from you, Andy. Keep up the good work.
Take care, John.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, John, in Watsonville. John, that opens up a line, and we have a number of lines open at 831-479-1080. You can also email me, mz@ksco.com. We have special guest Andy Carcello, who is a homeless person who lives at the, I shouldn't say you're a homeless person because you reside at the homeless shelter. So I guess you would be a homeless person if you weren't residing at the homeless shelter, and hopefully your life is moving along in a positive direction.
I'm very happy with what I'm becoming here, and I'm still working on it, that's for sure. At the same time, I'm trying to separate the words homelessness or homeless and transient here, because really they're kind of two, I believe they're apples and oranges, and unfortunately,
sure,
in the fervor here, the words have been kind of transposed on each other.
Right. Hey, let's go to our next caller, Becky in Santa Cruz. Becky, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. We've wrestled with that term homeless as well, and thought if we could come up with a better term. The one I like best is displaced former tenants. Because virtually everyone who's homeless once had a home, and now they don't. And the thing that ties them together is that they have no money. Andy, I don't really like how you're characterizing homeless people as a bunch of drug addicts and drunks and needle users. It's kind of sounds false coming from you, who a former needle user yourself. You sound like you're a homeless person who bashes homeless people, which is not unusual. We see that throughout society. You see Jews who bash Jews. It happens. I believe that what we need to do, because we don't want to have homeless people living on our streets. That's an unacceptable situation. We do have to do something about it. My organization, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, we're not advocating any more shelters. We think that that's a bad way to go. It's a very, very temporary Band-Aid solution. And the Homeless Services Center only provides, at best, shelter for 10% of the people that need it. Yeah. So we're advocating that the city and county set up motel voucher systems for those people who do not fit into our existing shelter system. And that way they have a door they can lock, which you have at Page Smith, by the way, Andy, and which I imagine you appreciate, having a room you can go in and lock the door and have privacy. Every human being needs and deserves this just for being a human being. Can I also comment,
Becky,
about
it sounds like you have a connection to the homeless community. You seem to know a lot.
I've been working on this issue for probably about the last 15 years, and I used to be on the board of directors of Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which set up. We had the ISSP, the Page Smith Community House, and the Homeless Garden Project in the days that I worked on that board.
We keep talking about Page Smith. Now, you want to spend just a brief period of time letting everybody know the significance of that name.
Okay, it's Page Smith Community House is a 40-person transitional housing program where people there's a very strict criteria to get into it. You have to be clean and sober for 30 days before you can enter. And you have to have an income. So that obviously leaves out a lot of homeless people. Also, you can't be in a relationship. You have to be a single adult. So it's not good for married people or people with children. But it is a very successful program in the sense that people in that program, they get counseling and help and job support and the majority of people transition into housing and jobs and are no longer homeless. And that's the goal of Page Smith. But it's not.
And the reason it's named after Page Smith, who was the first provost at UC Santa Cruz Cowell College, I believe, is he was quite an advocate for homeless people, right?
Homeless and poor people. His vision for Page Smith was that it would be very, very low-income housing. So that didn't really fly with all the powers that be. They kind of wanted a more managed program, which is way more expensive, I might add.
Yeah.
And so we have our problems with the Homeless Services Center, too, as advocates. Some of the treatment of some of the clients we're not happy with. Certainly the actual lack of shelter is a huge problem, but I don't think you can blame that on the Homeless Services Center. You can blame that on the powers that be at the city and county that have been governing housing, in the community for 20, 30 years. Where is the housing for the busboy? Where is the housing for the janitor? It's like they didn't plan for housing for the people that actually live and work here, especially low-income people. Mm-hmm. So that's where I put the blame. That we have 9.8% of our housing in Santa Cruz County is empty.
Didn't know that.
And nearly 20% are bank-owned. So that's, again, your problem. You have too many empty buildings.
Yeah.
And an empty building is a dead spot in a community. It's not providing any tax base or jobs or services for the community. And so our organization would like to see a tax or a penalty on empty buildings so we can start forcing those property owners to open them to tenants and businesses and nonprofit organizations so we can have a much more vital community and reduce our homeless population, because we obviously
Sort of an interesting idea, but quite controversial. I mean, that calls for a Saturday special unto its own here. Tax or penalty on open or unused buildings, yay or nay? Ooh, I could see that one being not having any open lines for 2 hours.
Empty buildings are the crime.
Want to thank you for calling in and adding some cogent perspective here to the discussion. Thank you, Becky in Santa Cruz. Let's go to our next caller.
Okay, thanks, MZ.
You bet. Here comes Rory in Watsonville. Thanks for waiting, Rory. You're on with Andy and MZ.
Thank you. Andy, did I understand you that you had a family trust that got frittered away?
Yes.
Did I catch part of that?
Yeah.
And you and your family had trustees that
helped
you?
Yeah, we appointed a gentleman to handle the finances of the trust just because there was so much money there, and, you know, my sister and I couldn't come to terms. So we thought we'd give this gentleman the right to handle the financing of the trust to make sure my mother had her bills paid and whatnot. We didn't realize we were really signing over a power of attorney. And by God, once you
so
do that...
are all those properties kaput now, gone?
Yeah. I have one question. I don't know whatever happened to the Aromas property, the 103 acres off of Cole Road.
Sounds like you might have a case there at some point. I know that's not the nature of this program, but that sounds unbelievable to me. The other thing is, I just hear this program. I live in Watsonville. You know, there's people down here, you know, living by the, what's the word, seat of their pants or hand to mouth and making it. Very resourceful people. But I hear this in Santa Cruz, and the thing is that when you subsidize something like quote unquote homeless shelters, you're just going to get more people coming because you're subsidizing. You get more of what you subsidize. And when I hear about dirty needles at Cowles, I won't go back there with my family. We've taken our kids there to surf because of the waves, or it's a little sheltered area, teach them how to surf. But my gosh, bloody needles and then blood on the wall at Harvey West. At the bathrooms, I mean, our kids have Little League tournaments up there at the end of the season coming up from, you know, Watsonville will go up there and play the tournament. So, I mean, it's just, to me, it's craziness, and the city is going to keep getting what they've got and more until they quit rolling out the welcome mat to homelessness, unquote. And like your previous caller, and they want to tax people to make them open up their empty buildings. What kind of nuttiness is this? So anyway, that's what I had to say. I just, I'm sorry, Andy, that you went through that. I know that there's a story behind it. It doesn't sound like the drugs did you any good, so.
No, it's okay. I'm okay now. But I mean, what I want to say is, you know, the reason why I'm talking about all of this is that I hope people learn something from this. I hope they get something from this. And if you get something from, you know, when you put a trust together, make sure you get advice from an attorney before
yeah,
you.
That's not a predator.
Exactly.
Okay, I'll let you go, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
I hear a pregnant pause. Some people knocked, rang the doorbell, and I had to put the phone down. So listen, thank you, Rory. Now, we have Lou Ann in Scotts Valley, Jean in Scotts Valley, and Rick in Gustine, and somebody in Gustine who just hung up. Unfortunately. So call back if you're still listening. We will put you at the head of the line. You were going to be up next. So who's next now? I guess the person who's waited the longest would be Lou Ann in Scotts Valley. Welcome to KSCO. Lou Ann, you're on the air.
Thank you, and thank you, Andy, for your brave, you know, attitude towards this and coming on. I just wanted to weigh in and say that I actually attempted to volunteer at the homeless shelter over a period of many, many months, and there's so much disarray, disorganization. I saw a lot of waste, money, time. You'd get there to volunteer, and the person that was, you know, your contact person wouldn't be there. You'd wait around for 2 hours with nothing to do. So, you know, I think there's a lot of waste. I think it's got to be taken away from the bureaucrats. And also I did notice it's not really bashing the homeless to say that there's a lot of drug abuse. I don't think I met a person that didn't have a drug problem over the years that I worked with them. I don't think I met one person. And as far as, people that, you know, become homeless. There's a time I had, you know, 3 kids, I was single. I spent 80% of my income on rent to live here. And so you can do it. There's many people that just don't budget. So I think we're talking about a really pervasive problem with people. I mean, they're society's orphans. And it's not like it's just, oh, you know, it's just much of an eyesore. It's more of a sad situation where people really want to be homeless due to mental illness, due to drug abuse. If they want to be homeless, there's something wrong. I mean, nobody, you know, wants to live their life just planning to, you know, eat their next meal or where, you know, where are you going to lay your head at night. There's something wrong with that, and we need to address that as people who have money. And I think we just have to take it out of the government can't rely on, you know, Warren Buffett or Bill Gates because they're trying to kill people. So we have to really work on it as a, you know, it's a citywide, it's a countywide, it's your neighbor. It's a big, big issue, and it's just got to be something that comes out of charity.
We need a very intelligent person to come up with a problem. I think we all agree that it's a big problem. Who could disagree with that?
But it's not government.
Anyhow. All right, Luann, thank you very much for your call to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. The phone number is area 831-479-1080. I'm particularly interested if anybody in KMPG Modesto country, AM 840 in the Central Valley, is listening, even if they don't want to necessarily join the program here. If they give us a call at 831-479-1080, let us know. Give us a wink that that we're coming through loud and clear here, because that is my understanding. Let's see, next caller will be Gene in Scotts Valley. Gene, welcome to KSCO with Andy and MZ. You're on the air.
Thanks, MZ, for taking my call, and thanks
sure.
for Andy to have the courage to come forth and tell his story. It's very interesting. I just want to say that I've lived here 59 years in the county, and they've always talked about Santa Cruz has no industry. Well, they finally have one. It's the homeless industry. After watching a city hall meeting, like Andy said, 100% of the people that got up there make their livelihood by so-called helping the homeless. And their livelihood's at stake. If the homeless go away, they'll be homeless. I was shocked that no one got up and said anything against the problems in Santa Cruz that are going on.
Wow, what an interesting comment here.
I have a 60-year-old nephew who's been homeless by choice. He's 59, 60 this month, and he's homeless by choice. He's lived in Santa Cruz many times. He's been in the jail many times. And he's been in more states than I have ever visited, and the word is out that he has told me when he lands here that Santa Cruz is a place to go to get the free ride. So that's why he keeps showing up here, too. Luckily, he stays away from my home.
Wow. That is
because, I mean,
sad.
He has a drug problem, too. But the task force, they are not going to have the courage to do anything about this. Believe me. You can take my word for it. Put it down. Nothing will be done.
For years, I've heard homeless advocates say, things like Santa Cruz, which is the most homeless-friendly, one of, if not the most homeless-friendly locales in the country, is homeless, is anti-homeless because it has a sleeping ban or a camping ban
mm-hmm.
that these people, that these advocates feel should be eliminated.
Oh, so, sure, if they want.
If we were to do that, my God, they'd be everywhere.
We would God, be overrun. And with this AB 109, we're really going to get some of the bad people that want to be homeless by choice because they're out of prison.
Yeah. So is there an equivalent to racist homelessist? Is there such a thing? Because I could definitely be accused of being a homelessist, if there is such a word. Just because of the of my words in the last minute or so here. But anyhow, I want to thank you, Gene, in Scotts Valley for calling KSCO 479-1080. That's area 831. Want to hear from other people listening to the program. We can go to Wendell here with the understanding that we're probably going to have to hold you over because we got about 40 seconds left. Wendell, you're on.
Yes, I used to feel that homelessness was at the forefront of my concerns in Santa Cruz. I've come to become a lot more callous because over the years I have had bad experiences trying to volunteer as well. The shelter is in disarray, and I think that because there's so much contribution from the community, there needs to be more discretion. There's a lot.
All right, we'll hold you over, Wendell, okay? And we'll put you up right after Kay's commentary in hour number two. You're listening to KSCO. Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, and KMPH Modesto. It's 11 o'clock. Here's CBS News.
CBS News. I'm Pam Coulter. At least 40 people are dead in two car bomb explosions in a Turkish town not far from the Syrian border. Reporter Steve Dorsey is in Istanbul.
Entire buildings have been destroyed. At least 8 cars have been destroyed as well, just completely blown up, caught fire. Rubble is in the streets.
The attack is raising fears that Syria's brutal civil war violence is creeping into its neighbor. A criminal investigation is underway into last month's fertilizer plant explosion that killed 14 people and devastated the small town of West Texas. A local paramedic is in custody, charged with possession of a destructive device, but Bryce Reed has not been linked to the plant explosion.
In a statement, the Department of Justice said investigators found an assortment of bomb-making components at the home of a Reed acquaintance. The agent says Reed's acquaintance had unwittingly taken possession of the components from Reed on April 26th. Sources tell CBS News Reed's acquaintance later became suspicious and called police.
CBS's Anna Werner in Dallas. Police are continuing to talk to the armed man holding a number of hostages at a home in South Trenton, New Jersey. KYW's Mike Doherty is there.
Right now, the neighborhood has been evacuated, and police are carefully monitoring the situation inside and negotiating with the gunman via cell phone. And we don't know much of what's going on inside or what those negotiations are centering around. And we don't know what the gunman wants at this point.
A troubling coolant leak at the International Space Station apparently has been repaired.
No evidence of any ammonia leakage has been reported by the crew, or no evidence of anything anomalous by the thermal systems officer here in Mission Control. So far, so good.
NASA announcing the results of the work done by two American crew members, CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
Two spacewalking astronauts have installed a replacement coolant pump on the International Space Station. They're hoping that will resolve a leak that was observed earlier in the week, and so far, so good. They've got the pump up and running. They don't see any signs of a leak, but it's going to take them a little while to make absolutely sure this problem's been resolved.
The spacewalk was scheduled to end this hour. Republicans continue to hammer the White House for statements administration officials made following the attack on the U.S. diplomatic compound in Benghazi, Libya, that killed 4 U.S. officials. Politico's Mike Allen says part of their goal is to bring the former Secretary of State down a peg.
Yesterday, already, there was an ad from conservative Republicans going after Hillary Clinton, and that's a lot of the subtext of this. Is this a way to damage Hillary Clinton's record ahead of her expected presidential run?
The White House says emails released to Congress show there was no attempt to mislead the public in the days after the attack. This is CBS News.
As many as 7.5 million Americans have psoriasis, and many of them suffer in silence, hiding their itching, flaking, and discomfort. If you're living with psoriasis, your new life begins now when you call for a risk-free trial of Seroderm. Seroderm provides fast topical relief of skin psoriasis. Seroderm helps to stop the itching, irritation, redness, and flaking caused by your psoriasis. Even if you've tried everything else, even if you've suffered for years, imagine living without discomfort and embarrassment and without wearing long clothes to hide your psoriasis. We're so confident you'll love your skin after using Seroderm that we're offering it risk-free. But you have to call now.
Call 1-800-600-0629. That's 1-800-600-0629. Try Seroderm risk-free. Call 1-800-600-0629. That's 1-800-600-0629.
Visiting the wounded at Walter Reed and laying a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery, and today visiting wounded warriors in Colorado, Prince Harry scoring points back home for his latest trip to the colonies.
Prince Harry's U.S. visit is getting a lot of play back home, this time for the right reasons, though one columnist suggests girls lining the streets for a royal glimpse were no doubt disappointed that this time he had his clothes on, a reference to last year's Las Vegas photos of a naked prince. British media reports America enthusiastically welcomed the heartthrob prince, calling it Harry Mania. Yet much coverage, too, of a solemn Captain Wales in full military dress paying his respects to the fallen at Arlington National Cemetery. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
And the U.S. has an offering for Britain. A new Star Wars movie will be filmed in a galaxy far, far away from Hollywood, the U.K. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
11:05 on this Saturday morning, May 11th. I'm Rick O'Shea with a traffic and weather update for KSCO, KOMY, and KMPH. Streaming along live in Modesto this afternoon, this morning. Right now, Highway 1 North is very slow from 41st Avenue into the construction at La Fonda. Southbound 1 is going to be heavy also between Morrissey and Soquel. Good news for southbound traffic, though. It picks up right after Soquel. For northbound 1, it's at the limit just beyond Soquel by about Morrissey. This evening, there is some road work taking place on Highway 1 that will have both northbound lane closed. This is so they can build the falsework framing for the new La Fonda Bridge. So tonight, beginning at 10 o'clock, northbound lanes will be shut down. They will reopen 6 o'clock Sunday morning. So between 10 and 6, northbound lanes of Highway 1 will be closed between Soquel and Morrissey. Forecast today, plenty of sun, warm at the coast, hot inland, 90s in places like Gilroy, Hollister, and Morgan Hill, upper 70s to the coast in Santa Cruz, upper 60s around the Monterey Peninsula. Before we start hour two of the Saturday special, it's time for the latest from Kay's Whirling.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
For many years, countless numbers of World War II veterans living in Central California, also veterans of subsequent wars, have yearned for the promised Fort Ord Veterans Cemetery to become a reality. These veterans, many now in their 80s, are referred to as the greatest generation, my generation, because we were all involved. We were together as a nation, and victory in war was more achievable then than now, when our nation is very polarized and not together. And many have yet to grasp the danger of world Islamic terrorism. Now, finally, after 14 years, AB 3035, the bill to create that Fort Ord Cemetery has been passed. And for that, kudos to State Senator Jay Denham, Assemblyman S. Salinas, and Congressman Sam Farr. The Central Coast State Veterans Cemetery Endowment Fund is now charged with acquiring the initial $4 million to proceed with this project. The yearly maintenance fund for the cemetery, however, will be the responsibility of the state. So now, why don't we the people use our creative thoughts and see how soon we can raise the necessary funds? Kudos also to World War II veteran Paul Ventura of Pebble Beach for caring so much for this project to become a reality that for years he kept the desire alive. And now, also, he has various ideas about how to raise the funds needed. If you would like to be involved in this project, call Paul Ventura at 831-626-0377 or email Paul at pfuture@pacbell.net. Let's all get involved in this worthy and much-wanted project. It's a way for us to say to those veterans who fought for us with deepest sincerity and appreciation, we thank you for the huge sacrifice you have made by putting your lives on the line for our nation. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, the topic of the Saturday special today is the homeless shelter, and should some changes be instituted? Stay with us.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And we have an open line or two at area 831-479-1080. We have an unlimited open capacity at mz@ksco.com. If you want to shoot me an email, the topic today, or the guest today, I should say, is Andy Carcello, who is a resident of the homeless shelter in Santa Cruz at Coral and River Streets. And Andy has some interesting perspectives that he is sharing with us today on the Saturday special. And we have a number of people who are waiting. Before we went to the break, we were talking with Wendell in Live Oak. So let's bring Wendell back on right now. Wendell, you're on.
Yeah, thank you, Michael, for having such a relevant program on the Saturday special. I'd just like to say very quickly, I do think we need some changes to upgrade the screening process. I think the people that really earnestly want to change their lives and improve themselves and want to make a serious effort should get all the help we can possibly give them. However, I do agree with one of your previous callers. It's turned into a gang of houseless drug addicts. And if you go down there and observe what's taking place at the River Street shelter, I think people would be very alarmed. And I think what we need to do is have somebody go down there or some people go down there and make videos or document on film what is happening in the life of a homeless person in Santa Cruz. There is just too many people that are abusing this wonderful program that we have in our community, and I think we need to fine-tune it, and I would like to see some changes occur so that we can make it work, and it's a win-win situation not only for houseless people, but for the people in the community that are contributing to try and improve the situation for people who have found themselves in this predicament. That's all.
Do I hear a second from Andy on that one?
Well, yeah, of course you do. God, I want to see this work. I mean, I meet good people down there that are really trying very hard, that don't commit crimes, that don't drink, you know, but they're being lost in this thing, and in fact, I mean, these are the people we need to concentrate on, and we need to somehow get control or manage the bad in this, and frankly, it's just so overwhelming, the numbers of people and what's going on here. It's just so overwhelming. It makes me feel like, can this work at all?
Yeah. All right, Wendell, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Now we're going to go to Georgia. There aren't too many Georgias. It's probably our Georgia, am I right?
It is right, MZ, and I'm probably going to be your most unpopular caller for today.
Oh, okay. Well, there's some preparation for us.
There's a little forewarning. I'm going to offer another point of view, Michael. I have absolutely no sympathy for you, Andy. The fact that you shot up all of your family's money, and now you want the taxpayers to become your mommy and daddy, to me, is just really tragically sad. And I'm not willing, Andy, to become your mother. Most of us have way too much on our plates. Now, Andy, you were blessed to be born in America, to be white, to come from a family who should have taught you some kind of work ethic. But maybe you were too spoiled to be paying attention, and now you want us to take over for your care? What have you done to get out of that place? And what is your plan to get out of there, Andy? Could you tell us that?
Yeah, that's why I'm here right now, Georgia, because I want to work for a living. I'm on SSI, Georgia, and I've worked there ever since I got there. I've worked. I'm not asking you to become my mother. I wouldn't have you as my mother.
Good, because I don't want you as my son. So we're even
now. You
there.
Guys be nice to each other. Come on.
Well, I'm just being honest, MZ. I think it's we've had enough of this whining about people's inability to reinvent themselves. Many Americans, Andy, are working 2 and 3 jobs to survive. You are sitting there under the taxpayer's umbrella. And I don't know how long you've been there, how long you plan to be there, but let me just tell you, I worked the shelter for years. And that's when I became a conservative. I went in there as a liberal because I saw what goes on down there. Last night, Andy, my husband and I went to a movie. We were down in the Pacific Mall. We walked around to get a bite to eat, and I ran into 3 guys that 20 years ago, Andy, I was serving food to. They're still on the street, Andy. This is a con game. You guys come down there, you become fixtures. These are able-bodied people. And frankly, as a taxpayer, MZ, I'm sick of it. It's done nothing but destroy our community. It is a drug fest. When I was there, people would come in from Oregon and Washington in big vans with flea-infested kids, come in and scoop up everything and anything they could get and then head out of town. It's a travesty down there.
Because we have a reputation, I guess, huh?
Yes. They don't even have to sign up. You just come and you
are. Is that still
the
way it is, Andy?
Mm-hmm. It sure is. I mean, that's why I'm here.
You guys are on the same page there. So listen, you're going to be quite direct with us, George, as you always are. Do you have a solution? Do you think the shelter should be closed because it's a failure?
I think there are a small minority of people, MZ, in my experience, that did need the help. But the greater majority were able-bodied men. Believe me, I got to know them. And they actually would, once they felt comfortable, they would make their little jokes about how great it was to know how to work the system. We have to find some way to separate all that out. I don't have an idea how we go about it.
I just asked you a real simple question. Do you think the homeless shelter at Coral and River Street should be closed because it's been a failure?
Well, I think, personally, it should be closed, as everything that becomes a failure in our country seems to be shutting down. Why should they continue at taxpayers' expense when other businesses or other things in our country that aren't making it and aren't being successful are shutting down? Why should they continue? If they can't run that business properly, maybe they ought to get out of that business.
What do you think, Andy?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
I should have asked you that question last hour. You know?
Well, I think I stated before I even got on the air that I was going to ask the question, do you even want the shelter open?
No, you did. I actually did read that.
Yeah.
I did, but you didn't answer the question. I didn't pose the question to you. Do you think the shelter should be closed? I just posed it to Georgia, and I had to pose it again for her to give me a straight answer.
Yeah.
And now I posed it to you.
It's an unpopular answer, MZ, because now everybody will see me as this heartless pretend Christian. I know what's going on out there with your listening audience, and it's tragic. We've got to start telling the truth, MZ, about what's happening here.
I'll drink to that any day.
Yeah. I still want to know what Andy's plan is. How are you going to get yourself off the dole? And what is your plan, Andy, for your future so that we taxpayers can quit, you know, taking care of you, whether you want to view it that way or not?
Well, Georgia, like I said, I'm here as part of my plan to get back into the community and to work.
And how long have you been in there doing that? How many years?
2 years.
Oh, only 2?
Yeah.
And prior to that, where were you?
I was taking care of my parents for 3 years. My father died of cancer. I was taking care of him, and my mother had that heart surgery that went bad. I was taking care of her. She had brain damage.
Okay.
Before that, for 25 years, I was a support engineer for computer systems, mission critical systems.
Mm-hmm. And is there any chance you could go back to that line of work, Andy?
Well, you know, I don't have a left hip joint. I have a couple herniated discs in my back. And for the last year and a half, because I've had two reconstructive surgeries on my right leg, I have bad circulation. I got an infection in there from working at the homeless shelter. I hit my leg with a hoe. And I got an infection that actually, I almost lost my leg because of it. It's been only in this last 4 months that I've regained enough of my health that I want to get back to work.
Well, do you walk with a limp?
Yeah, sure I do. I'm going to live with this for the rest of my life, but that's all right. I mean, I feel good about myself.
A lot of people, Andy, have problems with, you know, their physical bodies, or a lot of people today are struggling emotionally. We're all working very hard, Andy, to keep our heads above water. So you're not alone. But I'm very glad to hear that you have a plan. Now, how much longer are you allowed to stay there is my other question, and I'll get off the air.
Okay, I only have 5 more months. I've applied for some student loans to finish up a degree at Cabrillo. I do have an AS degree in biology. I took a number of psychology classes and computer programming classes. I'd like to finish up a degree there. I want to go back to work. I can't live in Santa Cruz on SSI, which is $854 a month.
No, you cannot.
So, and, you know, I'm sober, I'm clear-headed, I'm older, and I'm mature now, and, you know, I want to put my life back together again.
Well, good, Andy. Maybe you'll be one of those late bloomers that will come out and do great things with your life. I certainly wish you well. But, MZ, we do have a problem here, and we need to quit tiptoeing around pretending that if we speak against it, somehow we're heartless people. I'm not a heartless person,
I didn't say that.
No, I know, but you'll hear it from others. Believe me, trust me.
I wonder if Scott and Salinas, or Rich and Salinas, or Bill and Aptos feel that way.
Well,
they're up next.
Let's give them a chance. I'll get off the air. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Georgia. Here comes Scott in Salinas. Scott, you're on KSCO. Thanks for waiting.
Hello. I got to check. Can you hear me well? I'm in kind of
But it's not ideal. But we can. It's audible.
Okay. I have kind of a unique story, unfortunately. I came to Santa Cruz in 1982 after I graduated high school in Wisconsin. I came out here looking for work in the computer industry with no real plan, and I promptly ended up homeless. I left the San Francisco area and ended up down in Santa Cruz homeless on the streets for the first time in my life. And so I also had a drug problem, not an intravenous drug problem, but just about everything else besides it. And I actually got 2 jobs while I was on the street, one at the Sambo's on Ocean Street washing dishes, and one at a Del Taco, where there's a Taco Bell now down at the head of the mall there, Pacific Avenue.
Oh,
I had a hard time. Yeah, I had a hard time keeping the jobs because... here's a good example. One time they called me in at 6 in the morning at the Sambo's. I needed to be there the next day at 6 in the morning while I was living out past the graveyard down by the river, and I did not have an alarm clock, so I needed to stay up all night to be able to get into work the next day to wash dishes for minimum wage. But my biggest problem that made it so that I didn't continue my employment at those two places was because I wasn't spending my money well. I was using it for drugs, and the more depressed I would get about being homeless, and I felt like I wasn't raised this way. I felt like, you know, I didn't want anyone to know I was homeless. I felt like, you know, people would look down on me. I never would ask for money from anyone. I ate at the local soup kitchen, but that was just to get food. But I there were very few services back then compared to now, and you know, actually, I don't know what my future would have been because I was so depressed about being homeless that I was taking more and more drugs. And had I not run into a group of born-again Christians that shared the gospel with me, and it changed my entire life, I figure I would either be dead or in prison or maybe still on the streets, but I wasn't heading in a good direction. Now, I've been working ever since that happened. I became a Christian. The group of Christians that I met, they had a place in Capitola where they would bring people that decided they wanted to turn their life around and follow Jesus. So I went and lived there. they gave me free rent until I could get a job. I ended up working at Seagate Technology, and I had free rent. And then after I started paying rent, I slowly paid back the several months that of rent that I owed them, and they only charged me $160 a month for a room, and it was, you know, a church-related thing. And I personally don't think it's a good idea to confiscate people's hard-earned money through taxes for something that I think charities, like myself, should be doing our best to take care of. The churches and the Christians and other religious organizations should be voluntarily doing what Jesus said, which is to love people and to feed them and shelter them as best, you know. I mean, obviously, if I would have continued taking drugs at the place I was at, I would have got kicked out. It wasn't a 12-step program. It wasn't any kind of sober living environment. It's just that the Bible says, don't be drunk. They weren't going to tolerate, you know, me being drunk or high while I was living there. You know, obviously, I struggled with it for a few years until I got free of all the issues that I had, that I, you know, I had what would definitely be called a classic addictive personality. I don't actually necessarily agree with all of that. I think it's more of a spiritual problem. But I had no off button. If I hadn't passed out yet or run out of the ability to continue to get high, I just kept getting high. I didn't like needles, so I never did heroin. But I'm sure once crack showed up on the scene, I'd have killed myself with it. I had no off button. And until I dealt with the moral problem that I had, where I was cowardly dealing with life's issues by getting high to forget about all of life's issues, or else doing it for recreational reasons, then I wasn't going to get fixed by any program. So now I think people should be voluntarily giving to charities to do what Jesus told us to do, which is to take care of widows and the poor. And you know what? My wife and I do that. We've been serving food for years in the downtown Santa Cruz area. Food that is actually financed by ourselves, a missionary friend of mine who has a radio program. And local people that are good people that think that, you know, and we're not down there, you know, as a God salesman ramming God down people's throats. We're down there loving people, showing them God's love, and if they ask us why we're doing it, we'll tell them. But we're not down there cramming it down anyone's throat, and we just think, you know, if Jesus was here, he'd be loving people no matter what they looked like on the outside and no matter what sin problems they had. That's what
absolutely. Well, Scott, we want to salute you for calling and sharing your story. And it's a great suggestion. I don't know why it hasn't been brought up during the program, but we're happy that you brought it up. So thank you.
Thank you
God bless and
for
continued that. Success and great things are ahead for you. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Calling 479-1080 is the phone number to call in area 831. My name is MZ. The radio station is KSCO. AM 1080, I believe we are simulcasting on KMPG Modesto AM 840, but haven't heard from anybody to confirm that, so maybe that's not true. I would have expected that we would have received some calls from the Central Valley by now, but in any case, this is your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, one of the last independent voices in radio left in the United States of America that isn't corporate controlled. And we like to serve the community rather than rape the community, which is what corporate media seems to do, in my opinion. So if you want to join the program today, we're discussing homelessness and homeless shelters in Santa Cruz in particular. And should changes be made? 479-1080 in area 831. Let's see who is next. Rich in Salinas has been waiting 18 minutes on this call, so let's put him on. Thank you, Rich. You're on the air.
Well, thanks for letting me on. I currently work with the homeless. I've been doing it for, since 2001. I used to volunteer at Gorky's Kitchen. But I do it on my own now because I find out that the institutions are set up to make money for the people running them sometimes. The Gorky's Kitchen is a good example. Originally, when I worked down there, what was going on. But the new director down there seems to be doing a much better job. I really enjoy Bill Allen down there. But, you know, there's a number of things that have been brought up, and I kind of agree with Georgia, because I have a friend in the police department years ago that said, I work with the kids because they're the kind of people we can work with to start with to keep them out of the situations of drugs and alcohol or gangs or any of that stuff, so they don't become homeless. He says if you work with the homeless, you just usually solve a lot of their problems and enable them to continue doing what they're doing. Andy brought up a good situation there about his SSI check. A lot of the drug users down there, and I should say most of the homeless people, 80 to 90% of them are probably addicts first and then become homeless. And there are a few that are homeless, like Georgia was talking about, that actually could use the help to get out of the situation, and they do get out. Because I've met a few of those, and I've also helped a few people that were on drugs get off the drugs. But most of them like their mud puddle. I use a mud puddle syndrome. It's comfortable in that mud puddle no matter how dirty it is, because if you have to get out of it and clean up and change is scary. And they're afraid to do that. They've gotten so accustomed to the way they live, they don't think it's really something designed to do when they were a little kid. They didn't want to become the best homeless person in the world. But that's what happens. When they become an addict, that gets them into the same situation as if you and I get up and go to work every day. I tell them the same thing. Your job when you get up every morning is to find money for your drug habit or your alcohol or your sweets or your cigarettes or your beer or whatever it is. And that's what they have to do. That's their whole job all day. And at the end of the day, if they've been successful, they've gotten their food, their drug habit solved, or their alcohol habit solved. And the next day they do the same thing. And I've told them, I said, what's your favorite movie? And they'll tell me some movie. And I said, well, I want you to watch that movie 365 days, once a day every year, or for the rest of the year. And at the end of the year, you're going to hate that movie. And I said, you get up every morning, and you create your same movie over and over and over and over again, and yet you don't even realize it. You're your own director. You can change your life. But they're so comfortable in that mud puddle, they don't want to. Andy gets SSI. If you notice, Andy's, now this is not to pick on you, Andy, but you want other people to solve your problems. That's why you hired somebody to run the trust, and they ended up screwing it up. And now you get SSI, so somebody else is helping you with that. Now you want to get some free education, somebody's going to help you with that. But at some point, you have to take responsibility for your own self. And if none of these SSI programs or disability programs were out there, what would you do? You wouldn't have any money. I know a lot of people pick up bottles and cans or go dumpster diving, get stuff to sell. So there's a lot of different ways to get money. Not that I suggest that's what you do, but if all these government programs, because we're talking a big business. Remember Dr. Wallach said, the average homeless person, addict, dies at the age 58. The average doctor dies at the age of 57. They both believe in their drugs, pharmaceuticals or illegal. And the ones who are smart, the ones who are smart to get off of illegal drugs, they immediately get put on disability of some kind and get pharmaceutical drugs, and that finishes them off. I mean, the drugs are coming either way.
Wow.
So you can either die of illegal drugs, or you can get off of them and go onto legal drugs and get yourself killed that way. But the problem is the drugs. It's not the homeless. There'd be very few homeless if it wasn't for all these addicts out there. And they
don't
want
to. Yeah, it's not the guns. It's the drugs.
Right.
Yeah.
So the homeless problem is not a big
problem.
Don't
get me started here.
And if the government really wants to solve this problem, it's easily solved. I mean, we've got so much money that they're spending in Washington right now. If they really wanted to solve it, but it's a money maker, just like Jerry Lewis, right? What did Dr. Wallach say about Jerry Lewis? We got the cure, and he goes there, and he gets fired. They don't want to solve the problem. They want to continue it because it's worth a lot of money to them.
Cha-ching.
Get them on illegal Cha-ching. Drugs, Cha-ching. Get them on regular drugs, set them up in programs. Set up all the drug needles exchange.
You know, it's so obvious, and it should be becoming so obvious to everybody. You know, and don't tune out and think, oh, there's just a bunch of malcontent conspiracy people. The fact of the matter is that
having a shock to their system, and they couldn't handle it, and so that's why they got into the addiction, because it was too much. I knew one guy. Him and his wife had a baby. The baby died before 6 months and just destroyed their marriage. They both went on drugs. They got divorced. He's dead now. But he couldn't handle it. So any kind of shock to the system, some people can handle it and go on, and others can't. And this is what happens to the ones that don't have the willpower. A lot of them don't want the responsibility. But like I said, these are people getting up every day, finding their money for their habit. And that's a job. Every day it's a job. Mm-hmm. Now, the people with SSI or disability checks, what do you think they do with that? I know people that go out and buy their drugs with that money. That's where they get their money. They don't have to go dumpster diving. And some of them even borrow it to the next month. So as soon as 12 midnight rolls around the first of the month,
They're there at the ATM machine pulling out the money to pay their drug dealer off. $500 from the money he's borrowed. And now he's $500 short on this month. And he'll have to borrow into the next month.
Rich, how do you know all this? I mean, God, you're
because
very glib. I mean,
and
I'm not taking issue with you, but how do you know all this? Were you part of it?
I work with him through Dorothy's Kitchen. I do it independently on my own. Most of them are doing meth. I'll give you another example. I have an alcoholic that's a super nice guy. He could work if he wanted to, but he drinks wine or beer, whatever he can get his hands on, $2 bottle of beer at the local Walmart, right? And I said, look, here's what I want to, I'll make you an offer. You stop drinking for 30 days, and at the end of 30 days, if you don't feel better and you want to stay the way you are, you want to go back, I will buy you 4 40-ounce Cobras a day, and you got to drink them after 30 days if you want to go back to the way you were. He made it 2 days. He couldn't go past 2 days without drinking. And I'm offering to give him 4 40-ounce Cobras every day for as long as he wants to keep drinking it. But that's the problem. They don't want to change. Until they want to change. Joyce Myers has got a radio ministry. Her brother, they solved his problems. He was an addict. For 5 years, they took care of him, put him in the ministry, got him an apartment, a house, helped him get a separate job, he had a car, everything was fine. And he always ran to her and her husband for help whenever there was a problem. And they finally, after 5 years, cut him loose and said, look, you have to start solving your own problems. You're 57 years old. You have to deal with your own problems. And so they cut him loose. I forget how long down the road.
All right, Rich, God, what a call. What a call that was. Thank you for making it, okay? Here's Bill in Aptos. Bill, welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special with Andy Carcello and MZ. You're on.
Yeah, thanks, MZ, for having Andy on today. I'd like to congratulate Andy for coming on the phone here. At least he knows he's going to get a lot of hot air coming back at him. And it sounds like he wants to improve himself. And some great comments here in regards to Santa Cruz. We have one of the greatest cities, I think, around in California, and that's San Luis Obispo, just down the street. And it's a beach community, it's a college community, and it's almost like Santa Cruz. Yet they don't have any of the drug problems, the homeless problems, what have you there. And MC, I'd like to suggest you have a show where you have the mayor on with a couple city council members of San Luis Obispo and find out how they handle these problems.
What a great idea. The wheel. Yeah, thank you.
Rather than reinvent the wheel, go to see a city that's doing it well and see what they do. And I think we see some great light there.
All right. Well, hey, so I guess that's your call, and we appreciate that you made it. And thank you for waiting so long, Bill in Aptos.
Okay, thank you, Brad.
Okay, now let's see. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, one comment about Georgia is I think she's a breath of fresh air for the Santa Cruz area, and she's one of the few people that will speak her mind. She's intelligent. And she has fortitude, and I wish our city council members had her gumption.
I once had a nightmare one day, and it was a very disturbing nightmare. It was a nightmare that Georgia started mincing her words. But luckily it was a nightmare and it wasn't the real thing. So, Troy in Scotts Valley, you're up next.
Hey, welcome back, MZ. Hello, Andy. How you guys doing today?
Hi. Okay.
First of all, happy Mother's Day weekend to everyone. And, Georgia really calls it the way it is. She does not mince words. And, good call. She had some good points.
Wouldn't that be a terrible nightmare that Georgia started mincing words? That would be awful.
If you got her mad at you, that would be your worst nightmare. You'd have to move out of the state or something. But I think, Andy, you probably feel, I don't know, you've been homeless, but, homelessness is a component of the English feudal system. To get the slaves to work and the people to go to work here in town and to pay their property taxes, they have to see that someone is worse off than themselves. Now, I think that there's always going to be help, and you're always going to have the compassion of me and other people. We're going to share our food with you. But I think the problem needs to be right out on the street where we can see it and not hidden. I think the shelter should be closed, and we should deal with our community's problem on a local level. And also, when they shut down the state mental hospitals, Agnes, that put a lot of people out in the street, and they should be back open. And instead of us as a community getting taxed.
That was, That was when Ronald Reagan was governor, yes?
I didn't want to bring up that name, but correct.
Oh.
Our greatest president, MD. Yeah, people would say he's the greatest president.
I like the guy, you know. I think he was the greatest president in my lifetime, I think. But yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean he was perfect, for sure.
No, Sir Ronnie was a very effective president. So was Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
I mean, George Walker Bush was a very, very effective president. He got 98% of his agenda pushed through, and he never had to do anything but eat hot dogs and go ride rodeoed out of his ranch. But no, I think it should be
Wasn't he the one who threw up on the lap of the emperor in Japan?
Yeah.
That was George Herbert Walker Bush. Yeah. No, that was Daddy Bush that did that.
I thought that's who you were talking about. I thought.
Anyway, yeah, Andy, I think there's a lot of problems with our society. There's no jobs out there right now, and I have compassion for you, but you really got to do it without the government, because I mean, that's the wrong place to go, and I don't have the answer for that either. But I think the homelessness should be out in the street where we can all see it, and then we can all have more compassion and really do something about it, and not just put it all on the property owners and people who pay property tax, like Georgia and her husband or anyone else, you know. But I do have Andy. I wish you the best, and happy Mother's Day to all. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, Troy, thank you for calling 479-1080, which others may call if they are so inclined. Here's Mal in Santa Cruz. Mal, you're on the air.
Hi. Andy, I used to think that the problem was lack of education, and that most of the homeless were like you, had fallen into misfortunate circumstances, and I don't believe either of those things anymore. I think people adopt it as a lifestyle. And I'm wondering what you think of the idea of mandatory 12-step meetings or rational recovery meetings or whatever you want to call them for anyone who wants to stay at the shelter.
Well, I mean, that'd be great, but I'd like to see mandatory work for people that could work. Either they can work there, or they can get a job, or they can go to school, or they can do something.
Yeah, just like
thing.
I said in the in the promo. Yeah.
It used to be Paige Smith was very strict to get into. I took a urine test. I had to be clean. I had to have no marijuana in it and whatnot to even apply there. All of that kind of gone out the window here. But you know, they still have.
9 and 5, is that correct?
Pardon me?
You have to be out of the shelter between 9 and 5?
Yeah, for the loft people, the lot is closed from 10 to 3. So
maybe they should have some form to have initialed to prove that they're looking for work.
Well,
to prove that they're going to meetings.
Yes, 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 yes. I am all for that, because work, you know, by working at the shelter slowly but surely, you know, I got my health back, you know, and mainly I got my self-respect back. Work gives you self-respect.
Yes. That's what I got for working at Mental Health Client Action Network. And we employ several homeless people there. We have a lot of homeless who are also mentally ill, but they're capable of working just like I am.
Right. Right. See, this is another thing. If you alienate the merchants and the retail and the industry of Santa Cruz, I mean, right away you alienate, you know, places that can put people to work, that can help the homeless get back to work.
That's correct.
You know, and it's just so important to work.
All right. Well, those were my ideas. Thank you. Thank you for coming on and being so direct.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I got a number of thoughtful emails. Well, a couple of them anyhow to read. Here's from email from Richard regarding homeless problems. Dear MZ, I'm a lifelong Santa Cruz local, and I grew up poor, so I understand the dark side of the Santa Cruz community. In other words, I think drugs and alcohol abuse is at the heart of most of our local social problems. That being said, I don't believe that a large portion of the homeless community is from Santa Cruz. I think that this is propaganda. Because if these homeless people are local, where are the friends and families of these people? where the local churches, nonprofits, and the plethora of other organizations that supposedly serve the community. If I knew of somebody who was in trouble that I grew up with, I would help them. Wouldn't you help them too? Everybody I know would help their friends and family not to be on the streets. So either we live in a callous community, or most of these people are transients who are here, are not from here. Our transients who are here are not from here, are not from here. Okay, I think I understand. So that's from Richard. Thank you, Richard. Now there is an email from Anonymous.
Hey, MC, could I say something really quick?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
You know, I want to tell people that I pay one-third of my SSI check for rent. So
I was going to ask you, I didn't have to, because you said that to be allowed to reside at Page Smith, you needed to have an income. So I was wondering where your income was, but then it was answered later on. So and so you do, you have an SSI income, and you pay a third of it back to the organization, yes?
Yes, of course. And okay. To get that SSI, I mean, I was examined by a doctor, you know, and... You know, there's x-rays and everything else. So, I mean, sure. It's not a fake here. Okay.
Homeless situation from Vanya. Okay, MZ, here's a whistle for you regarding the homeless. One, the shelter is very good down on Coral Street. Most staff, not all, though, very, very good. Two, yes, I did donate funds when they were building the facility. Yes, due to a couple of Ponzi schemes. I am homeless also at the moment. Wow. Three, so here is a whistle. Take Back Santa Cruz, for example. Classic ripoff people. Are they a .org or a .com? And they propose shutting down the shelter? That would create way more of a problem than already exists. Ask them to reveal their budget. They are ripoff artists sucking off the fear of the community to make a profit. Ask them to open their books for inspection. Four, the solution is to reverse AB 109. No, it will take more funds. I know it will take more funds. Maybe KSCO will donate again and pass legislation to stop the outsourcing of jobs from this nation. Five, there are people who can live on the streets and in the woods and not steal from others. It's the NIMBY syndrome, not in my backyard. Six, close the shelter and create way more of a problem that already exists. Believe me. And it's signed Anonymous, and then it gives a phone number, which I won't give on the air. Thank you for that call, that email. We got a couple of others here. Might as well. Ooh. Just found 8 a.m. I'm listening to your KSCO simulcast about homelessness in Santa Cruz. I just found 8:40 a.m. yesterday. I live in Madera County. And the station is coming in clear. I used to live in Santa Cruz, born there in 59 when it was just a quiet resort town. My family lived there for generations. Left in the 80s after the Loma Prieta quake. I remember when they used to call it Santa Claus due to how people would go there for welfare. Due to pot growers in the woods, it was dangerous to go walking there. But as a kid, we used to be able to. It was very quiet there. It's odd getting a broadcast from there after being away so long. I sometimes pick up KSCO on 1080 in the evening, but it fades in and out. I'm from the days when KSCO played old fogey music, haha. Now I would rather listen to Alex Jones' InfoWars, which I've heard on KSCO a few times. Usually I get him on shortwave. I've yet to hear him on 840. Well, listen, you should hear Alex on 840 between 9 and noon. It's the time when KSCO broadcasts Rush, and between 8 and 10 p.m. on weekday nights. Thank you for serving the community, includes Oakhurst. As far as the homelessness is concerned, I was living out of my truck for a while after the Loma Prieta quake, and Harvey West was where I would go sometimes to use the restrooms. It sounds like things have vastly escalated in Santa Claus since then. It's a beautiful area. If I could have afforded the rents, I might have stayed. Now I'm not sure I'd want to go back, even if I have to live in low-rent districts where the drug crimes miasma goes on. The quiet resort paradise may still exist in higher rent parts of the town, but the reality for lower income folks is going to be Dirty Needle Avenue apartments. I'd love to see a solution to weaponized substance abuse, but the solution is not to do it, and once people start, most continue. people are worth saving, but they have to want to save themselves. Andy's purpose could be as shelter substance abuse counselor since he's been there. So, yeah, I want to thank you. It's unsigned, but we know that we are on the air in Modesto in the Central Valley, so that's good. Mary Carroll says, the law requiring their closing mental institutions in California, that's what this is about. The law requiring their closure was passed by the California legislature under previous Governor Brown. There was a deadline for this closure. Governor Brown made very little headway in closing these. And as the deadline loomed closer and closer, the task of final shutdown was left to Governor Reagan. That's why he has become known for it, because Governor Brown didn't get her done. I double-checked this info years ago after some discussion with a friend. Thank you, Mary Carroll, for setting the record straight. One more email here. This one's from Duke to MZ. How about building some cabins out by the fields in Watsonville? They can pick produce and get paid by the crate. The farmers are paying cash to illegals now anyway. Children did that work during the summer back in the day. Thank you, Duke. Okay, back to our phone lines now. My computer screen is acting very strangely here, but let's see. Jan in San... Nick in Royal Oaks. Nick, you've been waiting quite a while. Let's put you on now. You're on the air, Nick.
Well, they had some of those cabins near Corralitos, and I don't even think they got to live in once in a year, and they tore them down over legal allegations. I mean, they used to sleep out in the cherry fields, and they wouldn't worry about birds.
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey,
well, you've been waiting a while. What did you call about?
Thanks, Frank Kimmonell, and I have more to say with him. Andy, sure. How far back with Santa Cruz do you go? Does your family go? When did they start?
Well, my great grandfather came here from Switzerland in the late 1800s, and in a couple of years, he eventually bought 700 acres of it was known as the P.L. Storoni Dairy up the coast. My father had the Mission Pharmacy here for 57 years, and my mother, you know, grew up on the dairy up there. I was privileged enough to be taken around as a child and later as a teenager to meet all the old-time characters of Santa Cruz, the Stagneros and the McPhersons. We had a duck cabin right next to both of the brothers. So I'm very familiar with the history of Santa Cruz.
You know, it was a death sentence to be Native American around here.
Yeah, the Olani Indians really got the short end of the stick here. It's a history here that I'm afraid isn't talked about enough.
I'm 54, and I've had some serious times with just taking care of myself from being taken care of. And
you know, been homeless, Nick?
Well, I lived on a motorcycle for about 6 months. I didn't venture near any camps. So the Nation of Immigrants, you know, our Native Americans, they have very nice watch, and we would never have given all our secrets away and lost it all like that. I mean, it takes guts to be homeless. I almost call them Indian sympathizers.
Listen, we got to move on because we don't have much time. Yeah, we got a couple other callers. But thank you for calling, right, and thank you for waiting. That was Nick in Royal Oaks. Here's Jan in San Lorenzo Valley.
Hi, MZ.
Hi.
I've been listening to the show, and I just wanted to add a comment that I think is very sad that our country does more for the illegals coming up from Mexico than we do for our homeless. If we didn't have all these people displacing American citizens, there would be a place, there would be homes for these people, there would be jobs for these people. I think we need to flood the federal government with requests to change things and take care of our American citizens. And a lot of the drug problem, I think, is because these people are so down and out that drugs, you know, they have other people around them, and they have chance to try them, and it's a means of escaping the reality that they have. Because there are no jobs, there's no homes for them to live in, there's no backup system for them, but Can you see how the Mexicans are coming in and taking their jobs and displacing them? They're living in the homes that they would be living in and having the jobs they should have. I mean, come on, folks. Tell the government you want this changed around. Thanks, MZ, for the chance to say that.
Okay. There goes Jan. Here's Wendell back. With a different Wendell, in Aptos, I guess, instead of Live Oak. Yeah, Wendell, you're on the air.
Right. I just don't know. I got the question answer that I was going to ask about whether or not Andy's father owned the pharmacy there.
Yes.
And I know Andy, and he's a fine person, a very wise person, at least when I knew him for his age. And his mother and father were first quality people. And a person like Andy, only thing a person like Andy needs, and like the rest of the people in Santa Cruz who find themselves in Andy's position, is work. They don't need jobs. They need work, productive work, whether it's mentally productive or whether it's making the community better by supervising or actually doing work of picking up stuff and taking care of things. And the problem of people not having houses to sleep in goes all the way back, as far as I can tell, in this area, all the way back to Steinbeck and what was happening in the Cannery Row area all the way back then, where people were pretty much not living in houses but living pretty much wherever it was that nature provided comfort and shelter for them. And Santa Cruz County offers shelter and both shelter and the kind of thing that needs what people need in terms of the environment. It's just Santa Cruz offers it. People take advantage of it in different ways. People with money take advantage of it with big houses. People who don't have advantage of money take advantage of what it is that nature has provided here. So yeah. If this is Andy Carcello from...
Yeah, it sure is, Wendell. Hi, man.
Well, hi. Really.
Do you remember Wendell, Andy?
Yes, it's been a long time, but I have very kind thoughts about our friendship. And Wendell is a stellar personality, a stellar person.
Well, I thank you, Andy, and I'm glad to hear your voice. And just to know, I'm hoping
you're... Nice that you guys could become reunited on the radio.
Yeah, really. I happen to have been going
through the... With people listening all over.
Going
so,
through the
anyhow...
station that heard your voice and saying that Andy Carcello was going to be on your station, and so I made a point of waiting until this time to say hello to Andy and everybody else in Santa Cruz who might find themselves in that position. And this is a good community. It's better. It's the best community I've ever been in. I've been in quite a few. I've been living here for 40 plus years, and comparison.
Well, we want to keep making it better. That's Thanks
right.
for calling the Saturday special, Wendell and Aptos. We appreciate
Take
it.
Take care, Wendell.
Golly gee, we have fewer than 3 minutes left. I want to do a shout-out to the California Grill Restaurant for sponsoring this program. You should go. You're going to love the food there. They're at the corner of Airport and Freedom Boulevards and the Freedom Shopping Center. Fresh food, great chefs, wonderful portions. And when you go in there, tell them that you're there because of KSCO and that you appreciate their support of the Saturday special. We got about 2 minutes left here, and there's time for one more phone call if we had one. But if you want to get in, 479-1080, anything you want to bring up here and or any final points you want to make, Andy, before
off? As a matter of fact, I'd like to read something from the 33-page report that was at the city council here, and it goes something like this. 325 people accounted for 62% of all arrests who listed 115 Coral as their address that year, and 115 Coral is the post office at the homeless shelter. So, you know, when this was read at the city council meeting, I thought, boy, let's stop here and let's arrest these people, let's detain these people, and let's deport these people. And it just seemed to be glossed over. I'm just stymied at what the city council is doing here.
Let me read a real quick email. Let me get through it. MZ from Steven. MZ, 2000. In 2000, I became homeless. I am disabled from two car wrecks. I was hit by two drunk drivers, and I also fell from a roof to my back. I live on SSI. I have Section 8 housing. I went to the homeless center in Santa Cruz to sign up for HUD housing. 8 months later, I called HUD to see where I was on the list for housing. I was told that they did not have any paperwork about me. The homeless center told me they would send the paperwork to HUD after helping me fill them out. I lost 8 months of time waiting for HUD housing, and the homeless shelter would not help me get out to get out the time I had waited, 8 months lost. I found out that they have done this to many other people to get them mad so they would leave town and find help, try to find help somewhere else. I stayed and waited until I got my HUD housing and my SSI. I'm living well now. I'm glad that I did not die out on the streets. My church let me park on the back parking lot until I got my HUD Section 8. I also took care of my mother until she died in 2000. That's it, folks. Thanks for listening. Here's the That's All, folks, and then we join CBS News in Progress. KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville, and KMPG Modesto.
Two American spacewalkers apparently were successful in efforts to repair a coolant leak at the International Space Station.
When they first went out on the spacewalk, they didn't see any signs of a leak, anything obvious. So they replaced a pump module. This is a 260-pound box about the size of a large microwave, on the assumption that whatever was leaking might have been inside that pump assembly. They replaced it with a new unit, powered that up, and that seems to be working normally. There doesn't seem to be any signs of a leak, but it's going to take them a little while to make absolutely sure that this has solved the problem.
CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood. At least 40 are dead and scores more are injured in a pair of car bomb blasts in a Turkish city close to the Syrian border. In London, CBS's Clarissa Ward says there is suspicion Syria was involved in the attack.
One Turkish minister has come forward already and said that this is likely related to the conflict in Syria, which is now entering its third year. The town of Reyhanli is on the border with Syria, and the majority of its residents are actually Syrian refugees.
A partial vote count shows Pakistan's Nawaz Sharif, seeking a third term as prime minister, is far ahead of his rivals, including a former cricket star. Voting hours were extended in Pakistan to give the throngs of Pakistanis who turned out at polling places the chance to vote. At least 17 were killed in Election Day attacks. With a lot of Americans still out of work, food assistance is needed for people and pets. And CBS's Peter King says the Postal Service is helping out.
A tough economy has meant tough times for local food banks, but today letter carriers will help out by collecting non-perishable food when they drop off your mail. Central Florida Chair Lynn Pendleton says the last several years have been challenging.
It's a never-ending demand, unfortunately, but yes, our donations are keeping up with that demand.
Pendleton says letter carriers have collected more than 1.2 billion pounds of food in 20 years, 70 million last year alone. They're looking for non-perishable items from baby food to adult staples and even pet food. They make their deliveries today. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
A special task force has decided what to do with the Sandy Hook School, which was the scene of a horrific shooting rampage last December. WFSB-TV reporter Karen Lee.
They decided to build a new school at the old site. They're going to completely tear down the old building.
It was a unanimous vote by the 28 panel members, but the final decision will be up to the school board and voters. President Obama honored the nation's police at a White House ceremony today.
These officers represent the best of us, and they deserve the best from us. And that begins with being thankful to them, not just today, but for the rest of their lives.
He spoke at an award ceremony for the nation's top cops. This is CBS News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? I'm Jim O'Connor, independent life insurance agent specializing in term life insurance. There's been a price war between the major life insurance companies. If you've had your term life policy more than 2 years, you may be paying too much. For example, a male, age 45, non-tobacco user issue preferred best, $1 million of coverage is only $56 a month guaranteed level for 10 years. Or a male, age 50, non-tobacco user issue preferred best, $500,000 of coverage is only $91 a month guaranteed level for 20 years. The life insurance industry is going through exciting changes. Make sure you're not paying too much for your term insurance. For new or replacement term life insurance, call for a free quote. 800-799-0903. That's 800-799-0903. Don't pay too much for your term insurance. Call 800-799-0903 or visit my website at term22.com. That's term22.com. Rates based on standard underwriting and may vary by state.
There's only one place for fans of sleek sports cars to be.
To celebrate its 50th anniversary, Lamborghini has spared no expense. It's organized its largest rally ever of its cars across Italy. 350 models of Lamborghini have toured the country revving their powerful engines from Milan to Rome to Bologna, to the delight of the fans of these elegant vehicles. And the big surprise will be for tonight, when the company will unveil a new car at its plant in Sant'Agata Bolognese. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Bologna.
His whirlwind visit to Washington over, Prince Harry is in Colorado to meet with wounded service members competing in the Paralympic-style Warrior Games. The prince will attend opening ceremonies in Colorado Springs, meet and greet the UK's team, and watch a volleyball match. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
It's 12:05 at KSCO. I'm Rick O'Shea with a King of the Hill traffic and weather update. Have a traffic problem on Highway 1 southbound close to State Park Drive. There is a person running around the lanes of traffic. Be very careful as you head on Highway 1 in either direction. This person is running in and out of the lanes between Park and State Park on that stretch of Highway 1. Reported that they were southbound but could easily hop over the center divide, so be very careful in that vicinity. Northbound 1 stop and go from 41st into the construction at La Fonda. Southbound 1 is heavy right on top of Soquel. Does break up just after that. Road work overnight tonight for Highway 1 northbound will close both lanes of Highway 1 beginning at 10 o'clock tonight. Lanes will reopen at 6 a.m. tomorrow. The closure will be in between Soquel and Morrissey Boulevard, so crews can erect the false work framing for the new La Fonda